Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome. I want to welcome all of you to another edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show for this Tuesday, June 26th. And I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. I'm sure sometime soon, within the next few days or so, the next few shows, that we'll probably hear back from the Preacher Man, as it's been a while since he's called in. Try to get a hold of him and try to get him to. And I'll let you know when it's going to be, or try to at least let you know when it's going to be, so that we can have him back in and let him say some words. But unless something crazy happens and Preacher Man does call in tonight, you'll be stuck with me for tonight, the Miracle Man. But still going to be in it, and that's the important thing. Amen. And so, yes, I'm here at McDonald's. I did not do Mac Monday yesterday, so I did the Mac food today. And what did I get today? On my usual trio, which is a McChicken sandwich, a chicken filet, a classic chicken filet, and a warm, fluffy bun with lettuce and mayo for $1. That would be the McDonald's description. And then I had with it a large order of McDonald's of America's Favorite Fries. And then to drink, as normal, I had the best soda in the world, Coca-Cola. And you can get any size soda or sweet tea at a McDonald's near you for the low price of just $1. Prices in participation may vary, so see store for details. But generally, most stores do participate in the $1, $2, $3 offer, the $1, $2, $3 menu. That's two of the items that I got today were on that menu, that being the McChicken and the Coca-Cola Classic. And if you're wondering, as far as the ice or no ice thing, we're not going to get all heated about it. I'm just going to give you my opinion. This does not mean it's how it has to be to drink my Coke without any ice, because the fact is that it is cold. It is cold coming out of the fountain. Ice does tend to take up space, so that means there can be less pop in the glass. And once you put ice in the cup, if you let it sit for too long and you drink the pop real slow and stuff, then eventually your pop can get watery. That's why I choose to get the Coke with no ice. Now, if you do want your pop to be a little colder, I'm sure ice can help with that. But if you want the same taste, you'll have to drink it really fast. So it's up to you how you like it. I was just giving you that show why I like to get my soda not just my Coke, but any soda that I get without ice in it. Because even from a 2-liter bottle, you know, if you have a 2-liter bottle that was not in the fridge, I'm going to say you put some ice cubes in it at the bottom. And then you put some pop in it. If it's just a tiny bit of ice, it can be okay. If you put in a lot of ice and then you put that pop in, if the pop was really warm, it can water down the pop kind of quick. Have you noticed that, Jenny, that can happen? So that's another reason why, well, let's just say you guys are at a family gathering on the 4th of July, or 2 liters of pop. I would suggest they be in the fridge. Or in a cooler of some kind, you know, at the get-together. Because then the beverage, the soda will already be cold. Then they can choose for themselves, do I want ice in my soda? Yes, no. And then if you do choose the ice, since the pop will already be cold, it'll help it to not water down and lose its fizz quite as fast. And so that was just an idea I thought I'd share as to how to enjoy your soda more, and as well as maybe a little tip that one of you could use for 4th of July. Whether you have your party this weekend on the 4th itself or the next weekend. And so that's something to think about. But I'm here at the McDonald's, as I said. I'm at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across the road from a Kmart and Save-A-Lot. I'm northwest of an Admiral/Marathon and southeast of the Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. I'm here on McDonald's, about halfway to the back of the restaurant. And if you were listening to the show last Wednesday, if you didn't listen, I did take a few minutes of airtime to talk about kind of why I have been so in love with this McDonald's for so long. It's been my favorite freestanding McDonald's in the city, as this was my favorite play place when I was young enough to play in the play places. I prefer this one over the McDonald's on Eastman for the play place at the time, as well as the Burger King. But I talked about that for a few minutes last week. Now, I want to remind you of something that I mentioned yesterday. I'm not going to spend anywhere near as much time on it today, but I just want to let you know that on Friday I am leaving for a little vacation. I mean, for a vacation to Ohio. I'll be back to Michigan on Tuesday, but then Wednesday I will be up at my grandpa's in Cadillac area. So, is that to say, plan on 2 shows next week. As far as Monday or Tuesday, not sure whether I'll be able to do one of them or both, but at least one. And then I'll try to just keep you posted on how everything goes, but Rod Parsley's Dominion Camp Meeting is this weekend in Columbus. I will be there for a night of it. I would encourage you to live stream it. Go to rodparsley.com for more information in order to find out, you know, how to stream Dominion Camp Meeting. It's going to be powerful. There's a powerful lineup of guest speakers. And so I'm going to be there for a night of it. And I see it as a total blessing that the weekend I'm going to be in Columbus is the same weekend with Dominion Camp Meeting. So I'm going to be expecting God to do some things. Totally. And by the way, even if you can't, even those of you who are here and you're not going to Columbus, God can move through a TV. God can move through your phone, through your laptop. You just got to be expecting God to do things. There's been a lot of things that have happened as a result of camp meeting. They've had blind children healed. It's Testimony Tuesday, so I'm going to brag a little bit about some of the things. And this is things that I've learned about just since the last few weeks that I've been listening to some of the videos that were posted on YouTube. Most of them were from a long time ago, but still, I'm going to share some things that God's done. Two different times, once in 98, once in 99. There were 9-year-old boys at that camp meeting. And you want to know what happened? In both cases, they were healed of blindness completely. They could see. Oh, I wonder. I think of 1999 myself because I was a 9-year-old boy at the time of camp meeting, 1999. And I can just imagine if I would have been there at that camp meeting on that night where that happened. That's happened. Pastor Parsley's son, you know, Pastor's son, Austin Parsley. This is towards the Pastor talked about this at the end of the message that night. Someone else had preached, but his son was at home. He had a caregiver with him. And he was like 8 or so at the time, maybe 7. He used to, if he heard rain at all, he would go under the bed and hide. If he heard anything about a chance of a thunderstorm, he'd be afraid and go hide. But that night, that Friday night of Camp Meeting 99, he gets a phone call while someone's preaching. Actually, somehow he gets word that here is what happens. So it's thunderstorming. He goes and hides, and you know, like he always did. Right in the middle of all the thunder and lightning and rain and stuff, he comes out and picks up 2 books and says, "I want to read." Starts reading the book and stuff, and then you know what he comes up and he says? "I'm never going to be afraid of storms ever again." You know what had happened? God had delivered him of that fear of that thunderstorm, of those thunderstorms, right then and there. I heard that. I just heard about that last night because I was streaming it. Because back then they were wild services and that, and they hit. And I remember that place was hooting and hollering when they heard that story. Like, wild. I mean, if God can deliver someone of that kind of fear. Now, keep in mind he had a form of autism. They said he would never read. They said he would never do all certain kinds of things. They said he would never read. They said he would never go to school and all kinds of other things. But one of Josh Barclay's kids had not autism, but he had a prognosis placed upon him that he would be blind. Thankfully, that never happened. And he's a walk, and he loves God. He wants to be a basketball player. And it's just awesome. And so, those are just some powerful testimonies that I've heard about. And it is Testimony Tuesday, so if you just think of this, God is always working. And even though those testimonies might be almost 20 years old, guess what? The Word of God doesn't get old. So I'm just testifying on about the goodness of God. Now, in the case with Jude Barclay, that is like 10, 12 years old. But still, as I said, the Word of God never gets old. Jude Barclay shares his story from time to time. In fact, he wrote about it in one of his books called God Possessed. A lot of that testimony was from twice as far back as the other two stories I just told. They were from like 1970s, 1971, 1973, and prior. But this testifying of the goodness of God. So, if you wonder what the plan for tonight is, I'm going to read to you from Mark 11, and then I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 12. I forgot Hebrews at home tonight, but there's something in Mark 11 that I really want you to get in your spirit. And I'm going to talk, the title of my lesson is going to be Have Faith in God. Have Faith in God. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. Also, Tigers update. For sports, we're going to have a Tigers update. As far as what they did yesterday and game plans for today. Folks, for those of you who have friends and relatives who are interested in listening to the show, I want you to spread the word about the show. I want you to spread the word about the show. I really do. It's awesome. I'm not saying that to be prideful at all. No. But it is an awesome work. Great things are happening. And I want to tell you how you can tell people how to listen to the show. So, you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. You'll see a search bar once you get on the website. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. All right, Upfront Entertainment. And then after you type that in, you'll see a link. And the link will be for something called Live and Large. That's our channel, me and Preacher Man's channel. And we've done just about 170 episodes now of Preacher and Miracle Man. And so I'm so proud of everything we've done. But more importantly, I'm so proud of how the Lord has used us. So grateful about how God has used it. And I give God praise and glory for how God is going to continue to use this program. And the people we're going to reach. Praise God. And so, when you get on the website and you click on that Live and Large thing, hit that follow button, please. Here's why we want you to hit the follow button. I want you to hit the follow button because if you hit the follow button, you're going to get notified when we're getting ready to do a show. For example, tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to do our next show. Same time, same place as we generally do it. But like I said, next week's going to be a bit different. But you'll get notified when we get ready to do a show. And so it's just a great thing, and so glad that you would join us. And you want to know something we always say? It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or your smart device. You know, as I said last night, we use it for all kinds of other things. Yep, we use it for all kinds of other things, you know, to pay our bills, to play games, all these other things. Why not use it for something that's going to breathe life into you, like listening to this radio program? And so here's something cool about all these episodes we've done. They are all archived, which means you can go back and listen to them. And it's free of charge. You just go back in there, take a listen. I've said before, listen to them at work. You can listen to them at home, doing stuff around the house. You can listen to them, just driving to work or home from work, or maybe you're driving to somewhere to vacation. You can listen to them on the way there. And hey, speaking of vacation, it's not a bad idea if you go on a vacation to use some of that time to have devotion, more devotion, some devotions with God. You know, that can mean while you're driving, say you got a 5-hour drive or something, throw in a preaching message or two and just listen to it. Or if you got the Bible on CD, just listen to the Bible, you know, and pray to God. Let's say you're at your hotel, you can just say your wife and kids go to the pool or something at the hotel. You can go up to the room and pray if you want. Or go in the fitness room and work out and pray. Talk to God. My dad does this sometimes, so that's why I'm just giving you some ideas. But time with God is important, and about to say, you can go back and listen to those shows I've done. I've covered a lot of different things. A lot of different things, and it's all good. Praise God. Now, we have a telephone number where you can call into the show, and you can get connected that way. And we can talk about generally whatever we want to talk about. Maybe God's doing something in your life. It's Testimony Tuesday, so God's done some stuff in your life. He did some things in my life this past week. And so if you want to talk about what God's done in your life, by all means, please call in. Like I said, we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. And the telephone number you can call us at is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Now listen for the prompts and then press 1. And then my assistant, Jenny, who is sitting over there watching the online for me, if I get a caller calling into the show, I'll say, I'm going to say, okay, where am I? Or something like that. And then you'll be connected and you can talk to me. Now, we do have two really quick rules that I'm going to go over very quickly. Rule number one, this show is not a political talk show. There are other good political talk shows that you can listen to and call in and say how you feel, you know. I approve of the president, I disapprove of the president, Congress, the immigration, whatever. And there is a station in this area that plays many of these. The ones I'm thinking of that I approve of would include Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham. There are other good ones too, but those are just the ones I generally mention. If you want to talk about politics, that's who you call. Talk about anything else, you are free to call in. Now, generally, we talk about sports. We talk about faith. We talk about the Bible, you know, and sometimes we talk about a current event that's going on, or whatever, but, we have one other rule, real quick, and that is that this show is a family show, which means that we invite people of all ages, walks of life, what have you, to, we want and encourage them to join in. And so we want you to keep whatever you say, whatever comments you make, as appropriate for all ages, while also keeping it to something God would approve of. As I want God to be a proud of what we're doing. I want God to be proud of what I'm doing on the show. And so what I like to always say is, you wouldn't say certain things to Jesus, you know, other than sports, but you wouldn't say certain things to Jesus. By all means, please don't come say this on this program. So if we can follow the rules tonight, then we can take some phone calls and have a great show. And now I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up the wonderful, majestic Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the show tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have tuned in from everywhere, regardless of where they're from. Whether they're from across the road, or they're across the ocean somewhere. I pray that you would bless the listeners of this show, them mightily for making the choice to listen to this program, wherever they may be. I thank you, Lord, that they would be ready to receive the Word of God. Their minds would be alert. Their hearts would be receptive. And they would be able to concentrate. And I give you praise and glory that these people will never be the same. Never be the same ever again. Lord, I thank you that you bless me. You help me, Lord God. You help me tonight to say only what you would have me say tonight, and that you'd make me an oracle. Lord, I give you permission to interrupt me at any time you want as we delve into your word. Just thank you that the anointing is upon me, and that you're just showing me exactly what you would have me say. And Lord, Lord, I just thank you right now. I hereby confess over the show that partners will come on board to help us. And I thank you that sponsors will come. Thank you that money will come to the show, finances. I thank you that new equipment will come to the show. And I thank you that we will have great increases in audience. So the amount of hits that we get on our show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight in advance. And I give you praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go to, if you brought your Bible, Mark chapter 11. Praise God, Mark 11. And we're going to see where the Lord is going to take us tonight. And we're going to start with verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here shortly. Turn the page. Verse 4. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, as Jesus had told them to. And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead of them, who followed, shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Verse 12. Then next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the entrance a fig tree in leaf, that means it was in production, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing on it but leaves only, because it was not the season of figs. And then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there, overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. And they would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it into a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, your curse has withered." Verse 22. And Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and he does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing that you have received it, and it will be yours." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Verse 27 of chapter 11. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. So, by what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you authority to do this? Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men? Tell me. They discussed it among themselves, and they said, if we say it's from heaven, he will ask us, then why don't you believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people. For everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Jesus said, then neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. All right, I'm just looking through 12 for a minute. Just to see. Just looking here. In front of the cross. All right. Let's back up a little bit. All right. Mark chapter 10. I know we're doing it a little bit different, but praise God. And it's going to get really good when we get to towards the end of this chapter. Jesus then left the place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. So some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them, this is a quote, God, and I quote, made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. All right, now verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Verse 17 now. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, and he fell on his knees before them. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commands. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. With man, this is impossible. But not with God. All things are possible with God." Underline that part of Mark 10:27 in your Bible, please. That says things are impossible with God. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much as this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside, and he told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and will spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized by the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant of James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." All right, we'll talk about blind Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting there by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I'm in a restaurant. I know Jesus shouted a lot. I know Bartimaeus shouted a lot louder than what I just said. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted it even louder. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up. Calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. 3. God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I was just drinking a sip of my holy water. I mean, the Coca-Cola, which is, in fact, 98% water, but plus syrup and everything else. But nonetheless, taking a sip of the best soda on the face of the earth. Now, let's think about something. So, blind Bartimaeus finds out it's Jesus. He's sitting there at the roadside begging, asking for money, And he sees a group of people coming. When he finds out that one of them is Jesus, he just shouts out loud, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People tell him, "Now be quiet." Or as some people might say it now, "Shush, shut your face," or something like that. But they tell him to be quiet. Oh no, he shouted even louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he was crying, everything else. And Jesus tells the disciples to call him. So they tell him to cheer up, get on your feet, come to Jesus. He goes up there. Oh yeah, I bet you he ran up there. And and Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know what the blind man said? "Lord, that I may receive my sight." You want to know what Jesus told him? "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." This man did not have any doubt in his mind, in his heart. He knew. He knew Jesus could heal him. He didn't have any doubt. This man was all faith. He was a great example of what a follower of Christ should be, as far as having that solid belief in God, having faith in God. And I'm going to turn back to Mark 11, 22 to 24, to reread it again, just because I want you to get this in your spirit. So we're going to go to, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go there because I'm going to show you. So, verse 22. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and he does not doubt in his heart, but he believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him or her," because this is about male and female both. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing that you have received it, and it will be yours. So, let me tell you about that first little part of it. If you ask for something in prayer, you know, and that means confession is made. You know, I'm believing for my eyes to see. I'm believing to get out of this wheelchair. I'm believing for big amounts of money. If you believe that you've received it, that means, if you're in a wheelchair, that can mean just visualize yourself walking again. Visualize yourself up at the altar doing praise and worship. Out of your wheelchair, hands raised when you're worshiping, and you're using your feet, you know, and you're jumping and leaping and praising God up there at that altar at your seat. But I'm sure that if your miracle had happened, had just happened, and you had received, and you had gotten out of that wheelchair, I'm sure you'd be up there at that altar praising God. I know if I was wheelchair bound, if I had been set free and could walk again, and it was at church, I would be up there screaming, shouting, worshiping Jesus, thanking Jesus. So instead of saying, let's say you're in a wheelchair, let's say you have some learning disabilities or something like that. Let's just say, and parents, I would encourage you to talk to your kids about this. And here's what you should tell them. Okay, little Johnny, not little, but okay, Johnny. So you know how the doctors have said you have ADHD. We'll just say he has ADHD or something, you know, he has ADHD or something, and it gives him a hard time, makes it hard to be in certain classes and that, and the behaviors and stuff that go along with it. But here's what you can tell this Johnny kid. I don't know of a kid named Johnny not right now, so I'm just using that name. So you can go, you can tell little Johnny, now you listen to me. Instead of saying I have ADHD, why not say I'm healed, my brain is normal, everything within me is normal, I do not have ADHD. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I am set free from the diagnosis. But I am delivered from it. Everything works normal as was designed. That's what you should say. Also, he should visualize himself healed. Visualize yourself. Picture yourself not being crazy, hyper, like an ADHD kid would be. Picture yourself healed. Picture yourself healed with a brain that is normal. Just like a regular person's brain would be. And just picture yourself with a mind that is very sound. And that, my friend, is what I call, can pray for it. And then you've got to see yourself healed. See yourself delivered. See yourself, you know, off those drugs. See yourself free from sin. See yourself free from bondage. You say it. You should see it. And if you can see yourself free, you're more apt to get free than just asking for it. It helps if you can see it too. So you think of it in your head. Think about what stuff would look like. For example, for me as a blind person. Excuse me. I mean, someone who has received their sight, and that sight's just going to come right out. You're going to see. And praise God. This word. He's so amazing, isn't he? God is just so amazing. He's such a good God. I love how Jesus just lays it out so plain and simple. I wish all of us would be able to understand it. To clearly understand. For example, like I just said tonight, you need to ask for it in prayer. First, you need to have faith. You can't just ask in prayer and not believe that it's going to happen. Or not believe that God's going to do it. You got to believe that God's going to do it. Then you have to ask him for it. Because remember, in another verse in the Bible, it says you have not because you ask not. So don't do that. You got to have the faith. You got to ask for it. And then you should see that thing done. So see yourself seeing. Imagine it. Well, even for the finances, see that blessing. Then it'll be done for you. In the timing of God. Oh, it's been 20 years. Don't give up. Oh, it's been 50 years. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Keep telling God. Keep seeing yourself delivered. You know? And it will be done. It will be done. It will be done. Amen. Now, what I read to you tonight, folks, what I talked about, all this faith stuff, this idea, you know, this thing that if you speak it forth in prayer, you believe it and you see it done, you shall receive it. There's a condition on it. The condition is you must know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You must know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Folks, time is very short. And Dr. Barclay just said recently that Brother Capps, before his death, had said that we are on total borrowed time, that based on all the predictions, you know, in the Bible of the certain things that would happen, most all of them have already come to pass. So he was shocked that we are still here. So it is a matter of time. And I'm sure many people are not expecting him to come right now. So it's very important very important that you give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, right now. Because you can always think, oh, there'll be a tomorrow. We'll have Thursday. We'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hey, maybe not. Maybe not. Lord could come at any time. He will come as a thief in the night when no one expects it. So, it's very important that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the rapture happens. You don't ever accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll go to hellfire. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, live for Him, do what He asks, keep His commandments, then you'll be in heaven, where I plan to be, the right hand with God. And oh, in heaven, we're going to party like crazy. They can say, you know, we're going to party like it's 1999. Oh, it's going to be a bigger party than that. It's going to be a huge party. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost party. Strike up the band. Angels singing their beautiful songs. I'm sure when we're all up there, we're all going to be shouting like crazy. It's just going to be glorious. And in hell, though, they won't be doing any of that. It'll be, God, let me out of here. God, let me out of here. And but both places are eternity. Hell and heaven is eternity. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go to heaven. Not, you go to hell. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please call the number right now, 215-383-3810. Press 1. My assistant will let me know that we got a call. And then I'll help. Or you can make this confession with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, no, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me white as snow. Make me a new person. Show me how to be like you. I want to be different. I want to be free. I am tired of living for myself. I am tired of living for the world. I want to live for you. Show me how to walk with you. Show me your ways. Forgive me of all my sin, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Oh, in heaven, I know for sure, those of you who give your life to Christ, I'm sure in heaven, they are having, the angels in heaven are having a celebration. I bet you the fireworks are going off. I bet you they're shouting. Certainly louder than what we could ever shout. You know, and pastor says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice. Oh, no. I bet you there it's even louder. And they are just having a party as someone else has given their life to Jesus, changing their destiny forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, you need to get yourself hooked up to a church, and I can help you with that. If you gave your life to Christ, please call the show and let me know. And then I can get some information from you, some, you know, email, what have you, so we can stay in contact. Because you need to get yourself in a church. It's really important to rub shoulders with believers, because just like a baby needs his mother, a baby Christian needs believers who are going to help him in this new walk with God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Lord, I thank you for this word tonight. May it get in all of us. I pray that you help us, Lord God. Thank you for blind Bartimaeus. Thank you, Lord God, that we will always remember to have faith in you and to ask of you for a miracle and to see ourselves with that miracle. To see ourselves healed. See ourselves set free. See ourselves with more money. See ourselves with that miracle. I thank you, Lord God, that we will get this in our spirit and that we'll remember it and that we will put this all into practice so that we can better our lives for you, Jesus. Be better Christians. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will help us with that. And I thank you, Lord, for those who have joined this show tonight. Thank you that they will be blessed mightily for doing so. And I give you praise and honor and glory for the wonderful word of God tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Now, the Detroit Tigers played a game yesterday, and they were able to win by a score of 2-2. I had told you last night that it had been 3-2, and it stayed that way, and they ended up winning the ballgame. They play again tonight at home. 7:10 was the game starting time. I will let you know tomorrow night what they did today. And I believe tomorrow's a 1:10 start. Maybe it's 7:10. If it's a 1:10, you know, because I would have two scores to share. But there is a rain chance here in Michigan tomorrow of about 80%. For both here and Metro Detroit. So, will the games happen? Will the game happen? It's hard to tell. But Cleveland right now is one of the hottest teams in baseball, as they did continue in their winning ways. Briefly in basketball, LeBron has not announced yet what he's going to do, but he has to make up his mind in the next 3 days by June 29th, Friday, June 29th. I said before that I think that I'll end up with the Lakers. Now, in 2010, when he ended up going to the Miami Heat, a lot of people were speculating different things. I don't think too many of them were thinking he was going to stay in Cleveland, which he didn't. A lot of people were thinking, oh, he'll go to New York City. Maybe he'll go to Dallas. Maybe he'll go to Los Angeles or something like that. But he went to, and they had Chris Bosh. And Dwayne Wade. So they called it the Big Three, the team of the Big Three, Wade, James, Bosh. Went out like an order, Bosh, James, Wade. So the triple team. Now, Chris Bosh is in Houston. I don't think Houston has the cash space, the cap space for LeBron. Maybe they do. I don't know. But could go there. But I am going to stand by my prediction and say that LeBron, in my opinion, will go to the Los Angeles Lakers. If LeBron goes to Los Angeles, you can look for Cleveland to not have anywhere near as good of a record next year. Probably not make the playoffs. Depends on what other teams do. Really depends. What will Indiana do? What will Chicago do? It all depends. We'll have to wait and see. But in just about, just wanted to let you guys all know that in just about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, more like 6 weeks, 6.5 weeks, football will be starting up again with preseason NFL football. And so you'll get to look forward to more football discussion. That'll really pick up in more like 8 or 9 weeks, as that's when we're going to get to high school football starting up in the state of Michigan, as well as college football the following week. And then, you know, the weekend after Labor Day, pros will be starting. And so just to look ahead to what'll be going on the show. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.